Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on 1030. Tucson's voice for trusted news talk here in Southern Arizona. John Couch, my buddy on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our program on the first Monday in May. Oh, my goodness. May 4th, it's the 50th anniversary of the shooting by the Ohio National Guard at Penn State University. Wow. 50 years ago today. It's time for our Monday political face-off featuring commentators John Munger, Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, well-known attorney, as I say. He's also a former Republican candidate for Arizona governor. Jeff Rogers, another very well-known Tucson attorney. Jeff's the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday political face-off sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Talked with Moe this morning. Looking good. The doors will open on Friday. That's the good news. And they have very successful that one-on-one appointment. So folks can still do the appointments. They can still do kind of the virtual design session. But Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing Fort Lowell and Dodge will be reopening on Friday. Their website is moesgallery.com, and that information on their website will have their phone number, 795-8226. You can call ahead if you want to do the appointment, or you can just stop by Moe's Gallery, southwest corner, Fort Lowell and Dodge. And Moe tells me things are looking good with their suppliers. They had a while trouble kind of getting some of the materials for their framing in, but the stuff is coming in. So they're moving forward, which is good news. I always like to hear that the Buckmaster Show sponsors are hanging in there and doing the best they can in this very difficult time. All right, on the live line, we're still doing telephonic shows here, and hopefully that will be changing soon. John Munger on one line and Jeff Rogers on the other. And it is hard to control Mr. Munger and not to control them, but it's it's better to have them with me in studio so we can give them visual cues about this way and that way about how long their remarks should go. Let's begin with John Munger. John, how was your weekend?
Wonderful weekend, Bill. How are you and Jeff?
We're doing real well. At least I'm doing well. Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Had a nice weekend. Got in some horseback riding, and would have been nice if it had been a little cooler, but as temperatures are here to stay, I guess, and we'll just have to wait and see. The Zocalo Village and Green Things place was just mobbed with people. I guess people that can't seem to go out are engaged in gardening, because when I went to my horses Saturday and Sunday, the crowds at that place were just enormous.
Yeah, I was going to make this announcement later in the show, but I'll go ahead and do it right now, that I ran into Jan and Jack, the owners up at Mona's Danish Bakery, on Sunday, and Jan and Jack are just pleased as can be with the response. People, Jeff, are pouring into Green Things to get their gardening needs, because people now being at home are gardening like you wouldn't believe. So you're right, Jeff. Business is very good at Green Things.
Yes, there were swamps. The traffic going in and out of there practically had to wait to get into my horses.
All right. John Munger, I noticed on your Facebook page, and John, you haven't been posting very much on Facebook, but I did notice that you're predicting the left will slowly start to use the what you call the newly created health fears as a basis to control more and more of our lives and property. Your thoughts on that, please.
Well, that's just a concern I have. Rahm Emanuel, the Democratic former chief of staff to Obama and former Chicago mayor, made a comment a few years ago that a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. And what he meant by that is you could always use a crisis to impose more government control. A group of the far left have tried to do that with the so-called crisis of climate change. We've seen the entire government do that, both Republicans and Democrats, use the coronavirus to increase government control over people's lives. And I'm not saying, incidentally, that that's been used inappropriately anywhere, in particular for the coronavirus. I'm fairly comfortable with what is happening around the state and most other states. There are a few that are out of control, but I predict that this use of government of scientific models that have been used in climate change and in the coronavirus episode have will see that increasingly used, these scientific models used to create new crises, to create to justify more and more government control over people's lives.
All right,
I'm just predicting that it's a fear of mine that that will be used in the future. I'm not saying that that's been used inappropriately in the coronavirus. I'm just saying it's a fear of mine or a concern of mine that that type of creation of crises through what's called scientific models, is a threat to our civil rights in the future.
Jeff, are you worried about that as well?
Not one bit. Not one bit at all. I'm somebody who believes in science, believes in medicine, and I don't think there's any concern about that. We all know that the Republicans have been in this climate denial for years and portray this as some boogeyman that's going to take away their freedoms. But, you know, that's just frankly BS as far as I'm concerned. You know, we know that climate change is here. We've got to figure out how to deal with it. And we know that man has exacerbated it at the very least and probably caused it. It's something we're going to have to deal with. We're seeing it all over America and in every state in America. And the same thing for this coronavirus. I mean, we had warnings for years that, you know, that something like this could happen and we should be prepared to deal with it. And we weren't. I mean, we're now finding out that in the president's daily briefing by his intelligence agencies, the document that he rarely reads anything, frankly, that he was briefed on January the 2nd that this virus was coming and that it was going to be quite deadly. He finally now admitted that as of January 23rd, he was told about what was coming and ignored it then and continued to play golf through March the 8th, virtually every weekend, and ignore this catastrophe that we're experiencing right now. Now, today we're hearing early this morning that a document released that has the Department of Health and Human Services and Homeland Security on it says that they expect the death rate to increase to 3,000 a day through June the 1st.
All right.
And they're kind of trying to deny that that document exists or deny that they were responsible for it or that it's accurate.
John, how has the president, what kind of grade would you give him in handling this crisis?
I'd really give him an A+, and I'll tell you why. You know, Jeff said the president didn't do anything in January or February. The president, over the Democrats' vehement objection and calls of racism, immediately stopped travel from China, which has saved hundreds of thousands of lives. And the president shut down that travel from China way back in February. I think February 12th, as I recall. And the Democrats, Joe Biden in particular, Nancy Pelosi, called him a racist, said it shouldn't happen. They were very happy having more and more Chinese with the coronavirus coming into the country. And he took that step over their objections. Now, incidentally, they're agreeing that it was an appropriate step. But at the time, they fought him tooth and nail and called him a racist. And now they're saying, well, he didn't do anything. He has done plenty, but he's the other thing that he's done right is aside from taking steps under the Mandatory Production Act to get more ventilators, he's also, instead of imposing federal requirements He set up federal guidelines, but turned the control of the coronavirus to the individual states, which is what ought to be.
All right.
What the Democrats, I'm sure, would have done was try to control everything from Washington and have Arizona have to conform to the rules that should apply in New York. They want a federal solution. Trump set up a state solution, and he's letting the individual governments and the individual states run it, and that's the way it ought to be. So he's done a fabulous job.
All right.
The predictions were that we would have between 100,000 to 250,000 deaths with this kind of stay-at-home efforts that he's had. And we're going to come in on the very low side of that. He's done a great job.
All right. So an A+, and then Jeff Rogers, you're great, and then we'll hear your remarks after do the break, okay?
I'd have to give him a D-. He hasn't done everything possible that's wrong, but he has done almost everything possible wrong.
All right. Jeff, have you been up to Mona's lately?
I haven't been there in a few weeks. Mm-hmm. How's their takeout working out?
Oh, I'll tell you, it was packed on Sunday, and people were coming in and out, and the bakery case looked like a lot of people had been there, and the banana muffin that we had was just like it was to die for. It was so good, and the blueberry muffin also as well. But people walking in, getting their goods, and then departing, and of course they're very excited about reopening to limited in restaurant dining, which is coming here very soon. Could be another week or so. We'll have to see how that plays, or mid-May, depending on what the governor says. But anyway, they're open at 6:30 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. Their phone number, 579-1959. You can call ahead and order your bakery goods, or if you want to order lunch or breakfast, it'll be ready for you when you arrive. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, Mona's Danish Bakery, open right now to serve you with some delicious bakery goods, home of the Danish Kringle. We'll be right back.
During the coronavirus crisis, Vero Amore restaurants in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana are still open for takeout and home delivery. You can still enjoy all your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza. They're all available for takeout and home delivery. More at veroamorepizza.com.
It's easy being green. Promote wind, install solar, drive electric cars, ban mining. Wait a minute! You can't ban mining! Green is good, but hey, no can do without the metals green products need from mining. If you ban mining, you'll ban everything green. And today's minds are on board, researching technologies that provide critical materials for a greener world. Being green, another miracle from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
And this is Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
Matt, did you hear that Travel and Leisure magazine just ranked the Douro Valley as a top 50 spot for world travel?
Yes, so how about Portugal and Spain for my next culinary and cocktail cruise?
Let's do it on the Douro River aboard the new Ama Douro ship from Ama Waterways.
I'll need a chef's table dinner, winery tours, and other private excursions.
Matt, consider it done.
Thanks, Ryan. Portugal and Spain, here we come. Go to bvtravel.com to learn more.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. It is our Monday political face-off with John Munger and Jeff Rogers. The face-off is presented by Moe's Gowrie and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe is hoping, and the plan is they will be opening their doors on Friday. So check it out, Moe's Gowrie and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge. And at moesgallery.com, they've been very successful with their one-on-one appointments and some virtual design work during the shutdown. And so they're going to keep that component of the business as well going. So Jeff Rogers gives the response by the president to the coronavirus, a D+, John Munger, an A+. Will this be the defining issue of campaign 2020, Jeff Rogers?
Well, I think together with the economy, which is closely related to this issue, I think that's going to drive this election. But let's talk about, you know, Mr. Trump's performance. We have 4% of the world's population, yet we have over 30% of the deaths from the coronavirus. Those figures, you know, can't be looked at without trying to figure out how and why we screwed this up so badly. And part of it is the president is just unwilling to look at facts and science and unwilling to admit that this was a problem until mid-March, when he was exposed to presidential daily briefings in early January and again in mid-January and late January, warning that this crisis was coming and it was going to come with a vengeance. And his own intelligence agencies warned him about that. So, you know, the fact is he just ignored it and continued even as late as early March to say this was nothing, it was going to go away and there would be a few deaths and that would be it. It would miraculously disappear. Those were his exact words. Well, it hasn't miraculously disappeared. And in fact, you know, their own numbers are showing that it could be as high as 3,000 deaths per day pretty soon now. So, I really hope, against my better judgment, that this opening up works out well. But I'm worried that it won't. I'm worried that nine to 14 days after these governments opened up in places like Georgia and elsewhere, that we're going to see a spike in the coronavirus infections and deaths. And if that happens, you know, he's going to really have some real mud on his face and look pretty bad. And now he's probably going to try to blame other people. That's probably his tactic here, is to say, well, I'll leave it to the states. And if they open up and it's a catastrophe, well, that's their fault. I didn't tell them to open up. But he certainly has encouraged it, as he has encouraged some of these white supremacist rallies that we see taking place in Michigan and elsewhere.
Huh. John Munger, is it time to open up Arizona?
Well, let's go back first to what Jeff just said. You know, number one, Jeff just refuses to mention that it was Donald Trump over the Democrats' objection that cut off air travel from China back in February. Jeff just refuses to mention that over the Democrats' vehement objection. And then you look at what the Democrats have offered. I challenge anybody to go to Joe Biden's website and look at what Joe Biden recommends for the coronavirus. And everything he's recommended has already been done by Donald Trump. The fact of the matter is the Democrats like to criticize, but they have no ideas And the only ideas they come up with are ideas that are already outdated and have already been done by Donald Trump. These are just talking points. And they refuse to acknowledge the fact that starting with the shutdown of air travel from China, Donald Trump has done everything right, including the Paycheck Protection Program, the EIDL program to try and keep cash flowing in the country. And he's done everything correctly. He has been critical of several states, including Georgia, for opening up too soon. He hasn't just pressed opening up at any cost. He's been very critical of some states that he thought were opening too soon. And so I just think the Democrats are into this for their own talk. That's all they want to talk is talking points. The election's going to be about Bill. Is about Joe Biden and how incompetent he is. I can hardly wait for him to debate Donald Trump.
Okay.
Joe Biden can't remember what state he's in. He can't put together full sentences. He's got a real problem.
Is he
by
not?
By the time we get back to November, we're going to have the economy's going to be recovering nicely. Democrats are going to try to blame the economic conditions today on Donald Trump when they all know it was the coronavirus. That's just illogical and unfair.
Jeff Rogers.
And the public knows it.
Jeff, is Joe Biden being too low-key here by not appearing enough in public?
I don't think so. These are difficult times to get out there and appear in public, and certainly Trump has the advantage there because he is the sitting president right now, and he can call attention to himself on a moment's notice and get a lot of press coverage. So that's quite an advantage he has. And despite that advantage, he is still polling way behind Biden, particularly in the critical states of Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, and even in Arizona. He's being beat by a few percentage points by Biden. So I think that Biden is, it's tough in a crisis like this. It's a tough time to be running for election, no matter what. I'm reminiscent of Jimmy Carter running when the Iran hostages were being held, and that was a very difficult election to run and win because, you didn't want to seem insensitive to the hostages being held by Iran, but on the other hand, there needed to be a campaign run. And so this one is a little like that in a peculiar way. And I'm uncertain as to how it's going to shape up as we start to hit the intense time after Labor Day, what things are going to happen by then.
You think they will continue with the convention, but as a virtual convention, Jeff?
I think because it's been decided, Sanders has given in. So I think that because of that, they ought to do it by a virtual convention. But we'll see.
How about the Republicans? Are they going ahead, John, with their convention?
Well, the Democratic convention, as I recall, is in June. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff.
No, I thought it was August.
No, they moved it to August.
Yeah.
Republican conventions in late August. Mm-hmm. And I think I don't know what the Republicans are going to do. And I don't really think that's very important. I mean, they'll do whatever both conventions will do, whatever they want to do. But getting back to the main point that you started with, I am very impressed with Jeff's comments that he's not concerned at all of this use of scientific models to create crises to try to control people's lives, which they clearly are trying to do with this hoax of man-made climate change. For example, not one of these scientific models that they've created and that they're trying to use to create a crisis in the climate change area, not one of those, quote, scientific models, unquote, has proven to be accurate. Remember, we weren't going to have any polar bears left by now. We weren't going to have any Arctic left by now. We weren't going to have the Antarctic left by now. They're wrong about everything. Climate has been changing throughout the millennia, throughout the epochs of history, and climate is going to change.
Okay.
And there are so many factors that they haven't factored in. Even if climate is changing, Mother Nature is going to change as time passes. The point is that they are going to start using these scientific models. And let me just point out.
Real quickly, John.
Scientific model is just a model until it proves to be accurate. And nothing about the climate change so-called scientific models have proven to be accurate at all.
All right.
They've all been wrong.
I'm going to have to run. Jeff, the final word.
Final word is I'm not a conspiracy monger, so I don't believe any of the things John just said, not a one of them.
All right. Jeff, how is work going? Are you still going to court? Is court still in session downtown?
We are. They're having only essential hearings are going forward, and those would be initial appearances where they set a bail and enter an initial plea. Some sentencings are going forward in the criminal justice system, petitions to revoke probation, your initial appearances on that, but everything else is stopped. There are no jury trials. All jury trials have been canceled throughout the end of June. I'm at a loss to understand how we're going to get back to doing jury trials at all. Who wants to sit next to 13 other strangers in a small room with social distancing being the norm right now?
Wow. Yeah.
I think it's going to be very difficult to ramp up our court system. And the civil cases take a lot longer,
yep,
like John does, and they're a little, you know, more drawn
gotta
out.
Run.
But these
got to run. Thank you. Thank you very much, Jeff. That's
you're
a very
welcome.
Good, very good point. And John Munger, thank you, John.
Thank you.
All right, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing will be opening on Friday. Moe'sGallery.com for more information. Proud sponsor of our Monday Political Face-Off.
CBS News Update. Supreme Court justices find out what it's like for everyday Americans. They held their first session of the pandemic via teleconference. Correspondent Jan Crawford.
This new format is no longer some kind of free-for-all with the justices jumping in, firing questions at will. Instead, they're asking questions in order of their seniority. Roberts, as Chief Justice, he asks the first set of questions himself, and then he calls on the individual justices in order of their years on the bench.
CBS News legal analyst Jonathan Turley.
Ironically, this exciting moment in history for the court occurred with one of the least interesting cases for most citizens. It was dealing with the question of whether you could trademark a .com business term. But for those of us who have watched the court for decades, this is an important moment.
CBS News Update. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined. Because without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. As I mentioned at the top of the program, Green Things doing very well as more and more people are saying, look, I want to start gardening. I need some beautiful plants. I need some pottery. Well, Green Things at 3384 East River Road has you covered. Their 13-acre site just chock full right now of gorgeous plants. And they've got pottery. Much of it is on sale. Ran into Jack and Jan, the owners, on Sunday, and lots of people are turning to Green Things, which is great for their gardening needs. So check it out, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. The Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs is retired four-star general John Wickham Jr., who served as United States Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987. General Wickham was Commander-in-Chief of the United Nations Command and Commander of the United States Forces in Korea and the 8th Army in Korea. He's author of the book Korea on the Brink, chronicling a very dangerous period back in 1979 after the assassination of South Korean President Park Chung-hee. General Wickham was critically wounded in Vietnam. He spent over a year back here stateside in the hospital recovering. He returned then to Vietnam, where he was responsible for negotiating the release of all prisoners of war. A 1950 graduate of West Point, the general spent 4 years at the academy teaching social sciences. He also has a master's degree from Harvard University. General Wickham retired in 1987 after four decades of service in the Army. The Army Times has named General Wickham one of the 10 leaders that most changed the Army. Among his many decorations, the general was twice awarded the Silver Star for Battlefield Valor, as well as the Bronze Star for Valor, the Purple Heart, 11 Air Medals, 4 Legions of Merit, 8 Distinguished Service Medals, and 21 foreign decorations. His recent collection of poetry, titled On Life, Love, and Living, is available on Amazon. He and his wife, Anne, reside in Oro Valley, and he joins us now on the live line. General, how are you? Hey, General.
Hey, this is Bill.
How you doing?
Doing fine, Bill. Thanks for your opportunity to be on your wonderful program.
Good. You're coming in loud and clear. Before we get to the way the Army is reacting to the coronavirus, there was an incident over the weekend at the DMZ. Gunfire erupted from a North Korean actually from North Korea. A guard post was hit inside the DMZ separating the two countries. South Korean soldiers were firing back, so they had a few minutes of gunfire being exchanged. In your time over in Korea, were these incidents fairly common, General Wickham?
No, but they did occur, and as you're mentioning that, I remember up on the DMZ at the Panmunjom, where we negotiated with the North Koreans and saw the North Korean guards up there. It was the hostile thing. The North Korean guards would spit on the windows when you were in there. It was just not a very friendly place. But that's the way the countries are divided.
Well, it was a very tense time over the weekend. Luckily, there were no casualties. The 155-mile border is the most militarized in the world, General Wickham, as you know. You were up there a couple of times. I'm sure you know about what's going on. And the two Koreas remain technically in a state of war since the 1950-53 Korean War was halted in a truce. But there really has never been a peace treaty, has there, General Wickham?
No, there wasn't. I remember one time when we were negotiating the change of signs in the demilitarized zone to modernize them, and I was up on the DMZ and with a division commander and corps commander, and I asked them about the utility of going into the DMZ to change these signs, and they said, well, we were just down there yesterday fooling with the signs, and there's a danger with the mines in the DMZ left over from the war. And I said, well, let's just cancel. That's not a good idea to do that. We'll just give it up. And they did, and they appreciate that very much. It's a hostile area, but there's other areas where we left mines around the world from the wars. It's an illustration of the challenges that humanity faces, and we've got to be much more mindful of these kinds of things. Eventually, we're going to have some sort of settlement in Korea, but with Kim Jong-un as a leader in North Korea, I'm doubtful about that.
What can you tell us? What are your sources saying about the absence of Mr. Kim? He was out of public view for about 3 weeks, and this spawned, General Wickham, a torrent of rumors and unconfirmed reports that he was actually dying. What have you heard?
Well, similar things. That's not uncommon to do that, and it's conceivable that there was some concern that maybe he had caught this virus, but not so. Kim Jong-un, the grandson of the founder of North Korea, Kim Il-sung, is a remarkable young man, but hostile towards the West. And we've got to work closely with people like that and negotiate settlement. But when you realize, Bill, that North Korea, yes, he's got a leader, Kim Jong-un, but actually the elites in North Korea are running the country, the military and some commercial interests. So there are more people involved than just one person.
Let's talk a little bit about how the coronavirus has impacted the military. There was a period here last month where there were no, for 2 weeks, the United States Army was not taking in any recruits. Some longtime military people say they've never seen a time like that. Can you recall ever in your career a two-week pause like that?
No, and that's not unusual, but we're going to see that from time to time, I'm sure, in the future. The remarkable thing when you reflect on the travesty that's been visited on the world by this virus, it makes one wonder in their faith about what God is doing to humanity to visit this kind of travesty on the world. But the interesting thing that's emerged from this travesty is the fact that nations globally are reaching out now beyond their barriers, beyond their conflicts with other nations, to help other nations and to help people. and diverting resources, money to do that. So I think this is a manifestation of faith and the good things in the world and humanity that this travesty has sort of opened up. I'm amazed at what's been going on here, the fact that every day you hear about things being reached out beyond the borders and beyond the conflict. So that's good news there. We just have to see how it all emerges.
Well, it is a challenge now for the Army with the recruits. They are having to do the social distancing, and that's not an easy thing to carry out, as you well know, General Wickham, during boot camp, is it?
No, it isn't, and you're right. It's a difficult thing going on now with the military to face this recruiting and manifestation of readiness in the forces. The military is going to do well. One of the things that emerges in my mind is the emphasis now on the National Guard and the importance that that role as militias in our states plays in the security of our country. And we need to strengthen the National Guard and to help them to be more influential in dealing with crises like this. I think also this travesty of the virus has sort of energized research and development in the United States. We've not done enough of that, and we need to do more of it and invest in it. We're doing things like investing in the wall and things like that that, in my humble opinion, don't make a lot of sense. We need to invest in the future of our country and do the right things to care for the population.
The current chief of staff, I believe his name is it James McConville? Is he the current chief?
Yes.
He's saying that his job is very difficult right now because he's spending 3/4 of his time, General Wickham, trying to fight the coronavirus to keep his soldiers healthy. Just 6 weeks ago, he was going to be sending armor to Europe for one of the largest exercises since the Cold War. He says the toughest decision that he ever had to make, he had to cancel Defender 20, which was the code name for that big exercise over there. So things have really changed, haven't they?
They have, and it's a challenge. And, you know, when you become a position like chief of staff or in Korea when I was a commander there, you're not trained for some of the crises that you face. Like when I was in Korea, the assassination of the president, coup d'etat, things like that, you're not trained for it. And President Carter was mad as the devil at me, thought that I should have stopped the coup in Korea and run things better than I did. You're not trained for this. You sort of deal with crises as they come along. And the Army Chief of Staff is doing that right now and doing a good job of it. But it's a real challenge, and we need as civilians in our country to support the quality of our military. We can be proud as citizens that we have probably the best military in the world and quality young men and women. I remember when I pinned Purple Hearts on people that came out of Grenada, and then Walter Reed put the Purple Heart on the young man in Walter Reed, and they were about to take a photograph of him, and he put his hands up and said, "No, wait." Then he said, reach into his pajamas and pulled out the little American flag that had been sewn on his uniform, and he put that flag over the Purple Heart and said, "Now you can take your picture because this flag is what I am proudest of," which illustrates that our young men and women still love America and are proud of being citizens.
All right, General Wickham, stick around with us. We're going to take our break right here. We're going to hear from our great partners on this program. And so we will continue on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio on this first day of first Monday in May. We'll be back with General Wickham in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio right after this.
Thank you.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. During the coronavirus crisis, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is open for one-on-one appointments only by calling 795-8226 to arrange a time with Moe or Corinne. No interruptions and no other customers. Moe will even arrange a drop-off at the store's front door and coordinate a virtual design session. Moe's Gallery, Fort Lowell and Dodge, 795-8226 and moesgallery.com.
During this coronavirus crisis, Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, is still open for takeout and home delivery only. You can get all of your favorite Noble Hops menu offerings. Come pick them up, or they'll bring them to you. So check out Noble Hops on West Lambert Lane at North La Cunada Drive in Oro Valley, and online at noblehopspub.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. A lot of people are planning on, in their mind anyway, thinking about their travel bucket list, where they can go when things finally, when the all clear and when they feel it is safe to travel. And a lot of people would like to get away, get out of the house when it is safe. The three-hour drive from Tucson to Silver City will be very popular when things start opening up. It's a beautiful area of the Southwest United States, specifically the southwest corner of the Land of Enchantment, New Mexico. Great starting place would be to visit their website, which is southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find all sorts of ideas on what to do and where to stay in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We continue now with our monthly conversation with our contributor on military and foreign affairs, retired four-star General John Wickham, who served as the United States Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987. General Wickham, you had a lot of close calls over in Vietnam. How important has faith been in your life, sir?
Faith is very important to our military, the ability to oversee what's going on the ground, but we're very vulnerable in space. And it's probably one of the weaknesses that our nation faces and other nations. We've not invested enough to protect our assets. For example, a cyber war could damage our satellite activity, and we could wind up with no control over aviation or of our financial affairs. So we need to do more investing in space management and cyber war.
I want to talk a little bit about your religious, how faith has kept you going through some very hard times. It's been real important to you, hasn't it?
It has, Bill. And ever since when I was hoping to get into West Point, as a young man, there was no money in the family to go to West Point. And I used to say the Lord's Prayer 20 times a night, praying that eventually a message would get there and they would arrange for me to go to West Point. Well, it did work. So, and I've been faithful. And, of course, as you know, I was almost killed in Vietnam, my first tour in Vietnam, and given the last rites because of the severity of the wounds. But they didn't take, and I was given another life, an opportunity to do things good for the nation. And every day I say prayers of thank you, thankfulness for this opportunity of the second life. So, yes, faith has played an important role for me and my beloved angel wife, Anne, and our family. And we're proud to be Americans and love this nation and love all the good things about it. And I worry a little bit about some of the things that are going on in our country now. I don't want to get into politics, but we are straining some of the values that have made our country great, and we're beginning to do some damage to the institutions that have made our country great. So we need to do more attentiveness to protecting the future of our nation.
When you lost all that blood, you were waiting to be, you actually said, medevac everybody else out, make sure I go out last. You were bleeding terribly over there from so many wounds in Vietnam. Did that come back to haunt you as far as losing your eyesight, which happened just within the last year or so?
It has a very interesting point, Bill. I think medics are not aware of that. They are now, that if you lose a lot of blood in an automobile accident or in combat, one of the side effects is damage to the optic nerve system. And it leads to permanent loss of eyesight. And unfortunately, in the last 6 months, I've lost pretty much all of my eyesight. But I'm still able to get around a bit. I can't drive anymore, can't read, and can't do internet at all. But that's life is that's the way life goes. So you're right. It's the wounding. I was in the foxhole for 3 hours, waiting for the future of the what's going to happen to my battalion. And fortunately, I was able to save the battalion. And remarkable, we captured the Viet Cong commander who was trying to kill everybody on my fire base, and including me in particular. And he was listening to me. After we captured him, he said he was listening to my broadcasts, and he was realized that they had failed by not killing me, and that I was able to manage and control the protection of the fire base. So the Viet Cong commander finally decided to give up the attack on the fire base. So in a sense, I was able to save the battalion by this sort of surviving in the foxhole with the radio and other things.
And you were badly wounded then for that three-hour period in the foxhole.
Oh, yes. It was all I had given up, and I said the Lord's Prayer and thanked the Lord for my life. And I asked just for two blessings. And one blessing was, please give me strength to save my battalion through the night. And the good Lord did that. And the second blessing was, protect my beloved family after I'm gone. Well, the good Lord did that too, and he kept me around to do the job myself. So in that sense, my faith has been strengthened. And as I went back to an earlier point we made, I think this travesty of the disease has challenged our faith. Why is the good Lord allowing this to happen worldwide? And it makes one wonder about faith. But we got to be realizing that faith is a prolonged thing, and it's something that lives with you for life.
Wow, your remarks really almost bring in some tears to my eyes there, General. It's really strong stuff. And happy birthday in advance. Your 92nd birthday is coming up in June, and we'll talk to you, of course, before that. But 92 years old coming up here, General.
That's right. And every day, as I mentioned, Bill, I give prayers of thanks for the opportunity to serve this nation, beloved nation, and also to benefit from the good Lord's gifts of family. And as you know, growing up, the most important thing we do is raise a good family and do wonderful things with them and the talents that the good Lord has given us. So yep. We've got to be proud of where we're going as a nation and what we have done and how we can do more.
All
and
right.
I think we're beginning to see that now as we're, a nation is reaching out beyond our barriers to help other people in our community.
Thank you so much, General. Very uplifting remarks. Sounding really good. Thank you.
God bless, Bill.
Thanks
thank
a lot. You. General Wickham. All right, that's going to do it on the Buckmaster Show. Dave Ramsey, his popular show on money's coming up. On behalf of John Couch, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.